last time on Oz Hour?
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, we go and we get the fucking bitch Blinky. Blinky, Blinky, Blinky. We get her, we force her to do the things, reverse things, fix things, do all that type of stuff. Captain Bill, no longer Grasshopper. What Gloria, no longer Frozen Heart. She's small now and everyone boos her away. And then now Gloria is queen. And she's like, but I can't do this alone, not without my king, Pawn. So now they're king and queen and happy, happy, love, love, we love. And then Orc's like, I want to go. But then Scarecrow's like, wait, before you go, can you like drop us off like super quick over these mountains? And they're like, yeah, sure. So Scarecrow, Button Bright, Trot, Captain Bill, they all go with Orc over the mountain back to Oz. Now they're in Oz. Orc goes, they find a house, they eat, they ate, they slept, they do all that. And then we are back to fucking Dorothy, Ozma, and Betsy, and they're out here sleepover vibes watching everyone since they fucking got to Jinxland, and is like, oh, that's crazy. I know this is like real, but I'm going to pretend like I'm watching a movie and pretend that it's not real. And then we get caught up to everything and they are like, okay, wizard, you're going to actually give him a house. And then that's where we left off.
Hi there, welcome to episode 59 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be finishing book 9, The Scarecrow of Oz, covering chapters 22 through 24.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone
and Wyatt Swangham.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate. She slept. Hannah Aguirre.
Dude.
Oh, my God. That okay. Was me. Oh, I just spilled all over myself.
That's guy.
That worked out, but Blake, you said last episode you weren't going to do that with her intro again.
I'm so sorry. Right. It's just the way... The way that she was like, they ate, they ate, they slept. I'm just like, why are we focusing on
this? Those parts are important to me.
Anna, you just played last time on, which is where that happened. How long did that take, Wyatt?
Minute 40.
Minute 40. Honestly, I have no notes. You did pretty good. You almost forgot. Oh, don't remember what it tastes like. Do not remember what it tastes like at all.
I need to get that out of my hand because I'm fucking chugging the cocktail already.
Before we started recording, Wyatt went ahead and whipped up some cocktails. What are we drinking?
Tonight, we are drinking the Waterfall. The recipe for which you can find at our Instagram at Ozara Podcast. It is, it has blue curacao in it.
Yeah, not our favorite
like
across
that.
The board.
It's well, awfully blue.
I'm about to have a blue Christmas with this slurp.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh.
Oh, it's like an Otter Pop.
Chapter 22, The Waterfall. Also the cocktail.
Oh my God.
I know, right off the gate.
So. No, please, by all means.
So we learn that the mountains are a fair distance from Glinda's castle. So they have a little ways to go, but there's really no rush. And Scarecrow remembers the way. So they're just walking.
Yeah, spirits are high. Everyone's full from a hearty breakfast that magically appeared on the table in the morning. And as they walk, the smell of beautifully fragrant flowers are like floating toward them on the breeze. And finally, around noon, they like stop to take a rest by a pretty river.
And Trot at this point is like, I really wish we would have like brought some food with
some
us.
Of that free food.
And I was thinking about it. Trot, unlike every other character in any book, Trot hasn't had long days of walking before.
She's growing. She's 3. Like, do you know how much you have to eat?
More importantly, Like, every other character walks for 4 miles a day, but she has never even been on a land that is longer than 4 miles.
You're right, because this book, they stay where they
are. Yeah, they're in a cave. Oh, now they're on an island they can walk across. Now they're on top of a mountain that they never leave. Now they're in Jinx Land, which all they do is walk from the desert to the castle.
That's a really good point. Like, Trot, like, doesn't know what she's
and
doing.
And I guess Cap'n Bill has the wooden
leg. And
Cap'n
Bill on his peg leg.
So, it must be tough.
Sucks.
Not
walking
a good,
until noon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, Cap'n Bill is chafed to the gods.
I know. At least he's been a cricket for a while. For whatever.
Yeah, he's been off that leg.
Yeah.
Well, I
it
mean,
was
is that
wood.
Is that better or worse?
He might have had to work harder as a
did
cricket.
His, did his skin heal while he was a grasshopper?
That's what I was
like,
thinking.
If
like,
he,
oh, no,
if
but he has the callus.
If he had a pimple on his nose and then turned into a grasshopper for a week and then became a man again, is the pimple still there at the exact same stage it was?
No, I bet it heals proportional to the healing of the grasshopper.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I would.
The science.
They are stopped at noon, though, and Betsy is hungry.
Yeah. Right as Betsy is talking about how she wishes they took some of the food, a table loaded
Wait,
with fruit.
Betsy?
Oh, Trot. Wyatt said
Whoops.
Betsy. I said
sorry.
Betsy.
Yeah, I was sorry.
I literally read.
Did I miss something?
No.
No, there's
I
too
read
many
the
girls.
Name Trot on the page as Betsy. But a table loaded with fruits and nuts and cakes just appears on the bank of the river. And the Scarecrow is like, oh, someone's looking out for you guys.
And something about it, he's like, something about that table makes me think it's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did
it
have,
green?
Like,
yeah.
Literally, I was
green
like,
green
well,
napkins.
I wonder what's telling him that.
Like, maybe it's like ugly, like it looks like it's from Omaha in the 1800s.
Oh my God. Okay, a table from Omaha in the 1800s would probably be beautiful.
Yeah, Omaha. To our listeners in Omaha, we're just kidding.
What the hell?
But yeah, the Scarecrow is like, I think it's the wizard looking out for you. And if that's the case, like, you've got nothing to worry about. Like, we're good. We're going to make it to where we are. We're in the final stretch. But he also is looking around and he realizes that he doesn't recognize any of the landmarks around him. He has no idea where he is.
And he's like, we must have taken the wrong path, which I'm like, Scarecrow, why are you like, not why are you in charge? Because you're the only one who could help. But why did you lead them down this way as if you couldn't get lost?
Yeah, how did
you
this
know?
Happen?
Yeah.
At what point were you going to notice that things were different? But the Scarecrow says, like, that they must have taken a wrong turn because on his way to Jinx Land, he had passed by the foot of the river where there was a waterfall. And Cap'n Bill's like, okay, like, was there a bend in the river after the waterfall? Like, what are we looking for? And the Scarecrow's like, no. Like, it was the end of the river. Like, there was just a waterfall that fell into a lake, and that was the end. Maybe the river continued underground. I don't know. But, like, I'm looking for the end. So, honestly, I don't know why this is happening. They presented a problem that is pretty easy to solve. Walk one direction along the water and find,
like,
the end.
Because the water ends somewhere, and then they can go around. So, Literally. That's what they do. And Trot is like, oh, like, let's just go to the end. And Scarecrow's like, exactly. And it's like, okay. The Scarecrow should have literally not even told them. And he should have said, hey, now we walk to the end of this until we get
now,
to
the
waterfall.
Let's just stay along the water. We're
looking
for
like,
a big deal. It's not that hard.
And literally, that's exactly what happens. They walk.
And it
and
takes a long time.
Eventually, they find the waterfall.
Yeah. And they can hear it roaring before they get up there. Like, they're like, oh, we're going the right direction. So, like, they know. And they get up to it, and it's pretty big.
It's
like, super big.
Incredibly tall. Because it's kind of weird. The way I'm picturing it, I must be picturing it wrong. Like, do they have to climb to the top of the waterfall?
No, they're already at the cliffside next to it.
Okay. And then it just drops down into a lake below.
Yeah.
But I thought they were walking along a river.
They are.
So where's... Oh, they're walking to... Okay. See, I was thinking they were walking toward, like, the waterfall is falling facing them.
Oh.
And then they go around the end of the river. But you're saying they're walking toward the drop.
They're walking along the
but
river.
But then how do they get around that?
Well,
oh, they just go around the other
side. Yeah, it goes into
a
lake. So if it just went into a river and kept going,
I see.
They couldn't do anything. Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
But
I'm picturing it though.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I imagine it being beautiful. Like this huge ass waterfall, like mists coming up. It's everything's emerald. It's Oz, you know, like it's gonna be glamorous. And so they get to the edge and they look over, and yeah, way down there there's a lake at the bottom, like a small lake, a tiny
lake. And it's like far away. Like this waterfall is very tall.
Yeah.
And literally, yeah, go for it, wait.
Well, Scarecrow tells them that it's known as the Great Waterfall because it's the biggest waterfall in all of the land. And help! Because he loses his balance and he plunges.
Scarecrow?
Yeah.
He goes head first into
right
the
over.
Fucking water.
I'm picturing something so like ridiculous.
It is.
It is, yeah. I mean, because basically he falls in. There is all they see, because it's so quick, but all they see is him fall. There's a flash of like blue clothes as he falls in. He pops up, and for a second they see his face, and then he gets ripped over the side and he's gone.
I don't know if you have any idea how heavy a waterfall is, but the Scarecrow is made of paper. Yeah. So he goes...
Oh my god.
Like he's
god.
Gone and he fell to the bottom of the waterfall. They can't see him. Like Trot is like, oh my god, he's gonna drown. We have to save
him.
Well,
he doesn't have lungs.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Button Bright's. Well, okay, so the other thing to understand is there's the waterfall that obviously like goes straight down, but it's like kind of a hill that you can walk down, like a trail, you know, like if you're gonna walk, you know what it would be like. So there's a trail or whatever. So they start running down that, and Betsy yells that he's drowning. Button Bright says he can't drown, he's a scarecrow. But Betsy's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
she's
know.
Like, I actually don't know that.
I, like, I actually just saw him.
I keep
get
saying
eaten
Betsy.
Up, but
oh my god, it's
sorry,
Trot.
It's Trot.
Listeners, it's Trot.
Oh my
Trot,
god.
Trot, Trot.
We should like edit in like
Trot.
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 And then later it's like, oh my god, oh my god, I keep saying Trot. Anyway, so yeah, they're running down to the lake below, and Button Bright is like, he can't drown, Trot, he's a scarecrow. Trot is like, I have never seen a talking scarecrow before, what do I know about if they're able to drown?
Yeah,
they
keep don't have
going
organs.
down. And they get down there. Trot is scanning the water. She cannot find him anywhere. Captain Bill is like, well, he's probably deep down in the water.
And he disintegrated.
And he's getting soggier and soggier, and he's getting heavier and heavier. So he's not going to float
he's
up. Like,
sinking.
We're not going to see him. He's literally like fucking King Fierce.
The way that in the first book, the Scarecrow literally floated away down a river and didn't sink to the bottom.
Yeah, so what's
just
happened?
Saying, but
he's been in the water a lot, actually. He was saved by a stork in the first book. He was floating back and forth in the last book. But yeah, they're kind of freaking out. Trot cannot find him. Suddenly, Button Bright is like, Trot, over here! And like she goes over to him. He's standing by the edge of the actual waterfall. And behind the waterfall, there's a cave. And Button Bright's like, hey, maybe he's in here. Like, let's go check out this cave. And Trot is like, there's no way in hell the Scarecrow's in that cave. But also, Trot and Captain Bill can't say no to a cave.
Yeah, when I was reading,
like,
I was like,
oh, we're bringing it back to the beginning.
Back to the cave.
I thought this was
going to
take
it.
Them home. Like, I'm
oh my
like,
God.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't. But I genuinely thought, like, we were about to have, like, a Chronicles of Narnia where they, like, find their way back to the wardrobe 30 years later. I was like, oh, they're going to go in this cavern and they're just going to end up back in California. But no. They go in this cavern, which they have to skirt the waterfall.
It's
kind of
dangerous.
Into. It's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And
it's slippery. And there's rocks.
Once they go into the cave, like there's room enough to stand. And there's a staircase at the end of the room.
Yeah.
Like a staircase, which means
spooky.
People.
Yeah. And it goes down into the dark, wet cavern.
No.
And it's super loud right here, so they can't really hear anything.
Why is another book starting?
I know, right?
Like, I thought we were done.
But yeah, like Wyatt said, like they're behind a waterfall. All they can hear is like if they tried to talk to each other, they would not be able to hear each other.
Yeah.
So Trot just kind of like looks at Captain Bill, like, "Are we?" And Captain Bill's like, "Let's go." Before they can even decide to go, Button Bright's like, "Trot, I
He's just scrambling down these stairs.
Oh my gosh.
And the stairs are kind of wet at first. Like the first few are like slippery and kind of dangerous. Very like the stairs down to the dark well in the Patchwork Girl of Oz. But they end up being pretty dry after the first couple, and they just walk down. And then once they get down to the bottom of the stairs, there's just a corridor. And there's a rosy light everywhere in the cavern, coming from nowhere in particular. It's just beautiful and pink and rosy. And they're like, that's strange, but let's keep going for some reason. This isn't scary at all. They walk down the hallway and into this huge cave, and they are amazed by what they see.
Every inch of the floor, wall, and ceiling is covered in perfectly cut rubies. It is stunning. The light, like, reflecting off, I don't know.
I guess the waterfall. The water
is, like, making it glow this reddish pink.
Yeah, all the rubies are lit up like fire.
In the center of the room is, like, a hole in the rock. Where, like, you know, like, when you go to, like, Devil's Punch Bowl or something, and you see, like, the ocean shoot up through, like, this hole in the rock?
Yeah.
That's what's in the center of the room. They call it a cauldron, but it's, like, a place where the river is going up into the center of the room.
Yeah.
And every time it does, it looks pink and it is glowing because of the rubies all around it.
Pink, red, ectoplasm, blood clot, undulating in the middle of the cavern.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it's like.
Yeah, it looks like plasma.
Is it the Gnome King?
Oh, no. My God, I had a similar thought. I was like, they found, like, the secret treasure forest.
Literally, when I was reading this, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to meet the Gnome King, and he's going to be like, I'm just a nice old man now.
Yeah.
I'm just living my cave with my rubies. No,
just the water that comes down from the waterfall is so forceful, it, like, goes into that pool and then shoots up inside that cavern for some reason. It's not really clear why it does that.
They are standing here watching the river just, like, keep, like, going, like, shooting up through this hole, falling back down through the hole, and suddenly they see the Scarecrow shoot up through the cauldron, kicking and flailing, like, back down through the hole.
And that is the end of chapter 22, The Waterfall. And Blake, what would you call that?
Splish splash, Scarecrow's taking a bath.
Nice. Chapter 23, The Land of Oz. So
why do we keep doing that?
Go ahead.
So as the Scarecrow is, like, clinging there for his life, Cap'n Bill sticks out his wooden leg, and the Scarecrow, like, scrambles and grabs onto it.
And the kids have to grab onto his clothes at this point because he's going to be swept away. And they're trying to hold on to him, but he is super heavy. He's like 80 pounds.
He's
no, drenched. 120 pounds.
He's huge. Which,
I'm like, okay, wait, kids. How did a t-shirt get that heavy, actually?
He is. That's the numbers it said.
But the kids can't get him out by themselves. So, like, Cap'n Bill has to, like, get down and help them. And they pull him out and they lay him on the ground. The Scarecrow is sopping, dripping wet.
He's messed up.
He's wrinkled. He's lumpy. Things are in the wrong place. He's so saturated with water that, like, his face is, like, wrinkled and crunched in.
Ew.
But he can still talk, and he sounds somehow kind of far away when
he does. Would you say this is giving?
Oh.
Scarecrow body horror.
I actually have a Scarecrow body horror alert in my notes, and unfortunately, we're not even there yet.
What? The thing,
because it gets worse.
Yeah. It
gets strange.
But Trot, like, leans her head down by, like, the Scarecrow's face, and she hears him say, "Get me out of here as soon as you can." So Trot and Button Bright take his legs. Cap'n Bill, like, grabs his shoulders, and they, like, carry him out. It's not easy. It's not easy. He's, like, the heaviest he's ever been.
It's also a ruby floor.
Actually the size of a man.
Yeah, the floor.
Yeah, he's actually a man. This is the closest he's ever been.
The floor is slippery. And then, you know, the entrance behind the waterfall, incredibly dangerous when they went in, not carrying a guy. Oh, now they're carrying a guy past. So
they're like
it.
Slipping, like that thing where like your foot only moves like 2 inches on the rock, but you think you're going down.
You can tear it's like, an ACL with
they're,
the
they're using they're using muscles they had no idea they even
they're
had.
They're gonna be so sore tomorrow. But thankfully they do get out. And they get out of the waterfall and they go over to the side where they're like well away from the water. And they basically just lay the scarecrow out to dry.
And I am so sorry, listener, to give you two dun-dun-duns in one moment. But again, we have to reiterate, this is Scarecrow body horror. He's disgusting. Captain Bill examines the scarecrow's straw and he sees that it is full of polywogs and fish eggs.
No.
Frog spawn, seaweed, little pieces of dead fish.
Oh my God.
So
full.
How did that happen so quickly?
Well, he was in the sloshing machine.
He was like
going
dragged through. He was just scraping the bottom of
it. Ew, yeah. There's all those little periwinkles and snails in him, too.
So Captain Bill is like, okay. This straw is disgusting. Like, it's full of creatures. We have to take this out of him. Also, it's never going to be dry enough to be, like, crisp and crinkly anyway. We just have to, like, take this out of him.
Yeah.
And Trot's like, okay, like, cool. Like, let's do that. But they're going to unstuff his body and leave his head intact. They're going to unstuff everything and ditch the straw there so that those fish and polywogs can survive and put them back in the water. And then they're going to carry the scarecrow until they can find new straw. As a pile of laundry.
It's literally just his clothes. They're taking his clothes, his boots, and his hat. And then the scarecrow is
like... So does that confirm... My throat is dry because I'm freaking out. Does that confirm that his clothes are just his? Have we talked about this?
He still has his head.
Oh, he still
they're not unstuffing the head.
So his head is his soul, most likely.
His head seems like the soul. Because the clothes aren't moving on
his
their
head
own.
Is the soul.
It's just the head.
His head is his soul. Charlie, say it.
The head is his soul.
Charlie, say it. Oh my God. This is why he needs headphones.
But Trot took an extra care to de-wrinkle the scarecrow's head, make his head like all normal looking and
they have time to kill. They're letting the clothes dry in the sun.
Yeah. So they're just like, they have time to kill. And while that's happening, they get them all sorted out. Scarecrow is feeling a lot better. Just generally, he can talk more normal now. He looks pretty much all right. And then it takes some time, but eventually everything's dry and they can leave. So Button Bright carries the boots and the hat. Trot carries the dried clothes. And then Cap'n Bill, in order that the scarecrow can actually tell them where to go, just holds the scarecrow's head on his shoulder with the eyes facing forward.
Ugh.
Which is also scarecrow body horror.
Yeah.
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 So 3-in-1, girls.
Mm-hmm.
The scarecrow is weirdly in like a pretty good mood. Now that he's dry, and he's like just entertaining them all with stories about the Land of Oz while Captain Bill like carries his head down a road. Unfortunately, their plan to like find straw for him does not come to fruition. Night falls again, and they bump into that same house that the wizard made for them. It's just now in a new place.
Yeah.
So they're like, fuck, like, obviously, we need to rest. Thank God we have this house. But it's like this entire day sucked.
Yeah. They were supposed to get to Glinda's house today. And instead, the scarecrow lost his entire body.
Why can't L. Frank Baum just end a book?
Literally, the story
is over.
It makes
you wonder why that waterfall happened.
The story is done.
We don't need to hear this.
He was like,
anything that happens after the main story is none of our business. We shouldn't be here.
This is private. This is a private
adventure.
This is private information.
Like, I know the scarecrow's social security number by now.
Yeah.
Like,
this never should have been publicized.
He's an actor.
No.
Oh,
this is really giving And after a small adventure, they got to the Emerald City. That's all we needed to hear.
Exactly. And I will say, like, the end, we just fucking rushed through. So I don't understand why this waterfall is happening. But so they pass the night, you know, there's a piping hot meal waiting for them in the house. They eat food. They sleep in their same beds. They wake up the next morning. They have breakfast. When they go outside, there is a pile of fresh straw waiting for them right out on the doorstep.
Because the wizard sent it. Because, you know, he has the ability to make things manifest anywhere in the country. So instead of taking them to the Emerald City, he sends straw to them.
Because just so we're clear.
And a house.
Just so we're clear.
And they're going to be like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's the thing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He is using he is using more difficult magic to feed and house them than he probably is to just move.
Yeah, he's like using so much energy.
And Dorothy and Betsy are traveling 2 days to go to Glinda.
Oh, that's crazy too.
And
yeah.
These people are walking 2 days to go to Glinda just so that they can all convene at Glinda's and say, okay, let's go see Ozma. Why is it happening? Why is your host
happening? I don't want it to happen.
In the morning, they stuff the scarecrow. He's good to go. He's like, all his straw is rustling beautifully in his body, and he thanks everybody for stuffing him. Yeah. And
Trot is like, you look better than you did when we met.
Oh, yeah. And he is like, yeah, well, you know, a little bit of water can spoil even the best straw. And Button Bright takes this opportunity to remind all the little boys out there that it just proves that too much water or too much bathing is just as bad as not enough. And everyone said, yeah, I don't want to take a bath.
Scarecrow's like, everything in moderation. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this
like,
isn't.
What? No fire, though.
Do not. Please don't break the fourth wall ever again.
Yeah. And who are we talking to?
Like,
Button Bright. I can't tell if Button Bright likes taking baths or doesn't like taking baths.
Yeah. I feel confused about the message you're trying to send out.
But they have to pick up the pace because we've wasted a lot of time here. And they literally are like, if we don't leave now, we are not going to get to Glinda's palace before nightfall. Like, let's go. We should have been there yesterday. No. And I'm like, yeah, go.
Yeah.
Why am I reading this right now?
And that, unbelievably, is the end of chapter 23, which for some reason was called The Land of Oz.
Whoa.
And Blake, what would you call that?
I would call that Stuff Happens.
Chapter 24, The Royal Reception. At 4 p.m. that night, the Red Wagon arrives at Glinda's palace.
Whoa.
The Red Wagon.
The Red Wagon.
The Red Wagon.
The Red Wagon.
Riders at dawn.
Red Wagon.
The wagon. Red Wagon is Ozma's. It's Ozma's wagon. It's pulled by the Sawhorse. Dorothy and Betsy are on it.
Sawhorse.
The Sawhorse decides he's going to stay outside for some alone time. Dorothy and Betsy head in to see Glinda.
He says, well, the Scarecrow, or excuse me, the Sawhorse says that he just wants to spend some time thinking. And Betsy's like, what are you going to think about? And he's like, I'm just going to think about the acorn that grew into the tree that I was made from. And Sawhorse is just always getting philosophical.
He just like doesn't, yeah, he's like, kill me.
Yeah.
Or don't.
It's giving more kill me, though.
The girls go in, they greet Glinda. Glinda does that thing she does where she's like, I knew you were coming. Yeah,
I saw it in my book.
And it's like, girl, if you know so much and you're the most powerful sorceress in the entire land, do more.
Why do I need to keep coming here?
Why did you give the Scarecrow a pill that makes a spider's butt strong? Send him there with your power.
Is there like some like little like thing that you can't like, what is
She's
it?
Like, oh, if it's in Oz, but across a mountain, I can't do anything about
it. Yeah, well, there's like weird rules.
Meanwhile, the fucking Glinda, or maybe the wizard, I think it was Glinda in the last book, rearranged the road out of fucking territory.
It was Oz. Oogaboo. Yeah.
Oogaboo. She rearranged the road to send them out, which is actually, you know what? Hey, you know what? We're going down the wrong road here.
Yeah.
No, we're going down the right road. He went down the wrong road, and I'll never forgive him. I spit on your grave, Elfrink Bum. I love Elfingdom so much. She gave me a job. So Glinda talks about how her book of records told her that Betsy and Dorothy were going to come and meet Trot and Buttonbright. And Dorothy's like, oh, is that the little girl's name? Trot?
As a reminder, there's no sound on the magic TV picture.
Yeah, there's no sound.
Because they had to call Shaggy Man on a tiny cell phone last because there was no way to hear it otherwise.
Oh, God, he invented cell phones.
I don't know if, like, Dorothy and Ozma are, like, going through a hard time, or, like, if Dorothy, like, fully regrets moving to Oz and becoming a princess. But in the last book, she was like, who's that girl? Bring her here. I would like her to be my best friend. And Ozma's like, I'm your best friend. She's like, no, I know, but nobody can have too many best friends. And now in the next book, she's like,
she's
who's that girl?
Creating an army.
Who's that girl? Bring that girl here.
She's
I want that girl.
Creating an army.
Like, why does Dorothy need so many little girls to be captive in Oz?
She's going to take over Oz.
I mean, I get that Ozma is, like, actually busy and a politician, but also, like, it's not Dorothy's fault that little girls keep just wandering into Oz after
I know
her.
But why is Dorothy's first thought like, I want to be their best friend, let's go see them, I want to be their friend, I want to play with them, I want to play games like hopscotch and jumping rope?
Why is that her accent?
Oh, sorry. I want to play games, hopscotch, jump rope. So Dorothy's like, oh, the girl's name is Trot. And Glinda's like, yeah, and her sailor friend is named Captain Bill. And Glinda says, hold on to your fucking ass. Because I didn't like this. I text Wyatt about it because I was like, what is this? What's happening?
No.
Glinda's like, yeah, that's Trot and Captain Bill. And she's like, and you know what? I think they're really going to like it here. And I think we're really going to like them. They seem like the kind of people to really appreciate the wonder of Oz. And since I don't see any way of getting them home soon, they're just going to have to live here.
Which is crazy. Because last time, Betsy almost didn't even get admitted to Oz.
It was like so much work to get Betsy in that it added 3 chapters to the book.
And Ozma says, not everyone can live in Oz. It's just true. Not everyone can live in, which is true.
They don't know anything about Trot and Cap'n Bill. Except if that magic picture had some sound, they would know that they want to go the fuck home. What do you mean? Oh, well, we don't know how to get them out of here, so I guess they're just going to live here.
Yeah,
now.
I also don't understand that part.
You haven't even met them. You don't know what they want.
You don't know their wants. You don't know their needs.
Also, what the fuck? Why can't you get them out of there? First of all, Glinda, you're on my shit list. You're going to get fired because you were supposed to create a spell that made it so that nobody could get into Oz ever. 7 different creatures that weren't supposed to go into Oz went in. 3 fucking eagles, an orc, and 4
you know what,
people.
Though? No, because
they were not supposed
you know
to be there and they got in. And now she can't get them out?
The thing is, they actually made a spell so that no one could see it, or if they saw it, they would go away. But the orc and those birds are from fairy lands. They're all from lands that are on the borders of Oz. So the birds and the orc.
I didn't think that that was the rules, though, because I would think that the people of Ev don't just have in and out privileges.
Oh, that's true. Mm.
The Gnome King had a dig.
Well, that was even before that.
That was before that, but still.
It was just in the desert. Yeah. Well, it still doesn't make sense. I will admit to that. And I don't think that it ever will.
I'm like, okay, they weren't supposed to get in. They got in. Now you can't get them out. I thought Glinda was the most powerful sorceress in the world. And also,
actually,
why are you deciding that they just live in Oz now? That's crazy.
Accepting their fate.
Trot has a mother.
Well, it's interesting too, because there was, what was it, the donkey in the Patchwork of Oz, or Patchwork Girl of Oz, where she was like, or maybe it was the owl, but it was like, they weren't from Oz, but after the border got sealed, they couldn't get out. So they
I can't remember which of those two it was.
But they owned that advice shop.
Dumb owl or something.
Yeah. And so, like,
oh my God.
It's kind of like that, I guess. But again, the rules of them getting in, it's ambiguous. But we're not even bearing the lead. It's just
it doesn't matter.
Because what Glinda says is, yeah, like, they probably can't leave here. And Dorothy says, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Like, there's plenty of room here. Everyone has a better life here unless you have a family on the outside, which it doesn't really seem like they do. And then...
God, Dorothy came to Oz like 4 times before she was invited to stay.
I know. But then she wants everyone to be invited to stay because she's like, yeah, this just makes sense. Like,
different rules.
It worked really good for me.
But yeah, she's like, well, like Betsy and I will have so much fun showing Trot all of the different things to do in Oz. And Glinda's like, I have lived here for so many years and I have not seen all of Oz. So yeah, you're going to have a full life, little girls, of playing around in Oz. Meanwhile, Trot, Cap'n Bill, Button Bright, and the Scarecrow, they're approaching the palace. They can't believe how magnificent it is. They've only seen King Cruel's castle.
Which is pretty cool.
And this is beyond.
But this is crazy. It's like they're far away and they're like, this is so beautiful. This is beautiful than anything we've ever seen. And the closer they get, the more beautiful it gets.
Yeah.
And even Button Bright, who's seen the Emerald City, is like amazed. And as they're getting up to the marble steps, Trot is like, because they're like here now. And Trot is like, there's no soldiers. And the Scarecrow's like, well, there's no need because, number one, there's no wicked people in Oz that we know about, which I'm like, well, yeah, that you know about, but that's been a problem before, but whatever. But also he's like, but Glinda's magic would protect her. And I'm like, okay, I remember when Glinda had an entire army, but that was when there was 2 wicked witches. So maybe she's disbanded the army now. It makes sense.
Yeah, she like has like, because isn't the Quadling like all women?
It was like an all-women army.
Yeah, so they probably still like exist. They just don't like guard her house.
Well, now they're in her library and like doing
the
crafts.
Yeah, they're just
and
like
stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, so they get to the top of the stairs to the entrance, and Button Bright sees the sawhorse hitched to the wagon outside, and he's like, "It's the sawhorse!" And he runs down. He throws his arms around the sawhorse's neck. And Dorothy, Betsy, and Glinda heard this from inside because he, like, squealed. Mm-hmm. And so they come out, and they're like, oh, they're here. So they come out, and, like, Dorothy, like, gives the Scarecrow a big hug, greets him, like, meets Trot and Cap'n Bill. And she's like, we have been watching you for such a long time in Ozma's magic picture. Like, Ozma wants to invite you to her royal palace, and just so you know, that's a really big fucking
deal. It's a great honor. It's a great honor.
She's gaslighting them into wanting to stay there forever.
Yeah. But then Glinda shows up, and she's like, hey, come on in. Like, come to the reception room. And Trot is pretty intimidated by all this, because, again, all she's had is, like, these weird situations in the pretty nice palace, but not crazy palace of, like, King Cruel. But this is, like, opulence to the like furthest degree, and she's holding hands with Dorothy and Betsy, like taking their strength and being a little witch herself and just like trying to make it work, but she's feeling good. Cap'n Bill, on the other hand, is not very comfortable. He's like in like it's such so luxurious, and he just doesn't know how to act, so he's just like, yes ma'am, no ma'am, thank you ma'am. Like all he is saying is like yes and no ma'am.
Yeah,
he's like doesn't know what to do.
He's embarrassed by how fancy it is.
Yeah. And he's just like an old sailor man who was a cricket for 3 days.
But the Scarecrow fills like Betsy and Dorothy and Glinda in on what's been going on with their journey, even though every single person already knows everything. Glinda has read it all. Betsy and Dorothy watch it all in the magic picture. And then the Scarecrow like asks Dorothy and Betsy what's been happening in the Emerald City since he left. Fast forward, we don't get any of that information.
That's what I was gonna say, is when the book is like, oh, he asked them that, I'm like, oh, what's happening? Are we gonna learn something crazy and that's what we're waiting for? No. Next morning, they wake up, and Cap'n Bill's happy now because he's gotten comfortable with everybody. They eat breakfast, and they say goodbye.
Yeah.
And then they go to the Emerald City.
Yeah, they climb into the red wagon, and they want the sawhorse to walk. What do you say when you want the sawhorse to walk, Hannah?
Walk.
No.
They could probably say that now, but that's not what they usually would say.
They would say, get up.
Get up.
Get that. I don't remember that.
Oh my god. Go back
it's
and
the
listen.
First words you've, the Scarecrow said.
We've asked you to answer this question about 4 times on this show, and you've never.
We should really just stop.
No.
Get up.
Get up. Giddy up. Giddy up. What you say to a horse when you want it to go. So as they go along to the Emerald City, they see the beautiful landscape. They pass a lot of friendly people who are like super excited to see Dorothy and the Scarecrow. And everyone in their journey is like in very high spirits as they're approaching the Emerald City. And Trot is starting to really hope that Ozma will let her and Cap'n Bill stay in Oz forever.
Yeah. She's like, this is actually pretty nice.
It's a cult.
And it is. And the closer and closer they get to the Emerald City, the better and better it gets. Like, there's more people, more buildings, more everything.
Mm-hmm.
The it's Emerald City amazing.
Blows them away. It's
and just the
gorgeous.
People alone. It's like then, their costumes, everything.
Then they get to the Emerald Palace. Gorgeous. Then Ozma invites them inside. And usually people come and they go meet Ozma in the throne room. Ozma invites them to her personal apartment. The only peoples we have ever seen in her apartment is Dorothy and I guess Betsy in this book. But it's like only the girls hang out around the magic picture. Oh, maybe the wizard has watched the magic picture.
She's like, I'm a fan of you guys.
Yeah, like, she's like, literally, I've been watching your show. She's like, I'm like so sorry. Time. I'm still changing out of my sweats because I was watching you walk up to the door. but like, please come into my apartment. So,
they did save the Scarecrow. Or they were part of it, at least. I guess they didn't really do it.
Still, throne room. Throne room. Her bedroom.
I mean, I still
come
agree.
Into my bedroom is crazy. But it doesn't matter because she makes them all feel so welcome and they're so comfy. And they're just like, wow, this place fucking rocks. Ozma fucking rocks. Trot and Cap'n Bill are given beautiful, comfortable rooms that overlook
they're
the gardens.
They're being love bombed right now.
They're being love bombed. It's a cult. I'm scared.
Yeah.
But that night, there's a huge banquet in their honor, which I never thought about this before. But like, what does the average like dinner look like in the royal palace? Because I feel like every time we're there, it's an enormous dinner where all of our friends are there. But like,
well, they always get the food that they want too.
Yeah,
like Polychrome would always get her dewdrops or dew cakes, whatever.
Does Dorothy ever just say like, "Oh, you know what? I'm gonna actually have dinner at like 4 today, and then I am gonna go to my room and just like binge watch TV and go to sleep." Like, does Dorothy just say like, "Oh yeah, I want like a pulled pork sandwich at 2 in the afternoon. I'm eating by myself like over the sink."
I don't think that's the case. It's a formal dinner situation because their lives are so, I mean, life is so different back then anyway. Like, there's not actual media, so
but
like
then
that's
but it
part
always
of
draws attention to the fact that it's such an enormous banquet. So if that's every single day for them, I don't know what
the big
deal is.
Oh, I see. Well, I think the extent of the food is different, you know. Like, they probably do have just, like, soup for dinner. But I think it is, like, a formal dinner every night.
So, mm-hmm. It's, like, this amazing banquet that they all have. And they meet all of the people. They really get a taste of Oz.
Cap'n Bill thought the Scarecrow was, like, the far extremity of craziness. He thought, oh, it's a talking, walking scarecrow. That's the height. That's the peak. And then there's the Tin Woodman with his gleaming axe. And he's like, oh, my God. And then there's Jack Pumpkinhead with his living pumpkin head.
Oh, my God. We got everyone.
There's Professor Woggabug, the giant bug with the clothes. There's TikTok the Machine Man. There's the Shaggy Man and his brother, which they're just normal.
He meets the Shaggy Man Ugly and Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. And he's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, he's like, that's his palate cleanser. Because then it's all the strange animals who he meets.
Yeah, something bad.
Yeah.
I feel like in Oz, as far as I know, there's only capital A animals. There's no lowercase a animals.
Except for
Kalidos?
Yeah.
But oh, Kalidos are lowercase
talk. Maybe we just didn't know.
Kalidos are an abomination.
The lion, the lion has to do this, but the lion does kill a deer in the first book to eat it.
That's true. But Cap'n Bill is astonished, though, and Trot, too, because they meet the Cowardly Lion, the Hungry Tiger, Eureka, the Pink Kitten, the Sawhorse, who they've already seen, the 9 tiny piglets.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Hank the Mule.
Them.
Like, all of these animals come, and they're like, hello, hi, how are you? Hello.
There's so many.
Belina,
characters.
Not mentioned, kind of makes me sad.
Oh, that is interesting.
Ah!
Curled up at Dorothy's feet is a little terrier named Toto. He doesn't talk much.
Okay.
Yeah. But he listens intently to every word.
And I'm like,
but
so that means he did talk.
It says he
times.
Doesn't talk much.
Yeah.
Okay. So he probably
so
said, how do you
talker.
Do?
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah. Dorothy is probably like, I'll pinch you.
And and then, even though Belina's not mentioned, we get the Woozy, which Trot is like especially interested in because he's so strange.
She's like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
But like, he's, but she also likes it. He just like, he looks so happy and he just kind of looks around and like sits in the corner and like is like greeting everybody. So she's like, oh, he's a nice little guy. But otherwise, he's pretty, you know, whatever. So they're amazed. But the whole night, Cap'n Bill and Trot are like, where's the wizard? Like, we've been waiting for him. Like, we kind of want to see this guy because he, like, saved us, sort of. Well, he didn't save him, but, you know. Yeah. They want to know. He's the wizard.
And Trot's, in a house.
And Trot's read the books, so she knows who the wizard is.
And so Trot knew who most of these people were also.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But eventually, later in the night, the wizard appears.
He's like, I know you. You don't know me. Let's get acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They talk all night with the wizard and with everyone, and they have like the greatest night of their life. And by the end of the night, Trot's like, oh my god, like, I know everyone here. These are all my best friends in the whole wide world. I'm going to walk away from my life and I'm going to stay here.
But then Trot looks around and realizes Button-Bright is nowhere to be found.
That goddamn Button-Bright.
And Trot cries out. She's like, oh, dear. He's lost again. But Ozma is there. And she's like, don't worry about Button-Bright. Like, he can't get very far away. We're in the land of Oz, so it's safe. But also, if he's not getting lost, he's just not going to be happy.
Yeah, that's Button-Bright. That's what he likes to
do. That's his life.
Unbelievably,
that's the end.
That is the end of that chapter, and also the end of the book. You might think that's a strange ending.
It's a bit abrupt.
It's a bit wild.
It's like he got bored.
Like, I just, the last few chapters, I wish they didn't happen.
They're like always 24 chapters. So I honestly feel like he was just like, just get to 24.
To 24. I know.
The chapter called The Land of Oz, that was just them taking the scarecrow outside and then drying him out. They didn't do any, they did it on The Land of Oz, but
they just, it was just them doing laundry.
Yeah. I mean, I liked this book a lot, but like that felt like it wasn't needed to me.
Yeah.
That's just the facts.
It literally should have cut straight from them celebrating Gloria and Pawn's victory straight to the Emerald City.
Yeah. If the orc had not had his uncle's surprise party, which was Elfringbaum's choice, that didn't actually happen in real life. Elfringbaum made that happen. So he could have said, oh, yeah, we'll fly you straight to the Emerald City. And then we could have had a montage of everything in the Emerald City, or it could have been one chapter and just ended there.
And easy. I wouldn't have minded the orc getting like a royal congratulations from
Ozma. Oh my god, yeah. And
he did everything.
If Ozma like started making inroads with the orc community, that would be crazy.
Also, like,
so needed.
What is Pawn and Gloria's relationship to the Greater Oz now moving forward?
I know. Can they start a correspondence? Like, just, I don't know.
You didn't even get to say bye to them.
I know, yeah. But they're happy and they're kind and good. Except, I mean, Pawn does come from a legacy of murdering kings. So, I don't know. Or destroying kings. But that is the end of chapter 24, The Royal Reception. And Blake, what would you receive that?
You know, you're not going to think well of me for it, but I'm calling that Trapped in Oz. Because something's yucky to me. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable. I feel like, let that little girl go home to her mother.
Yeah, wear the ruby slippers.
She trusted Cap'n Bill to take that girl out on a boat ride, and they haven't been back in a week.
I think that little girl's
mother is worried about her.
I think there's something we missed in the Sky Palace, or whatever the fuck, the book that Trot and Cap'n Bill are from. I think there's a reason that she doesn't want to go home. Because it said how, like, her mom runs a boarding house and, like, she had her and then doesn't pay attention to her, and then Cap'n Bill's her only friend and educated her. So
thank
I
you
think
for listening to Oz Hour. Join us next week as we begin The Sky Palace by L. Frank Baum.
I know. Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we begin Book 10, Rinkitink of Oz. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, Created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swangham. Co-hosted by Hannah and Geary. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.